Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
SENZ on Good Friday around New Zealand and Australia, and also on the app wherever you are. Happy Good Friday. It's a minute gone past 11 o'clock. It's time to go stateside and talk all things MLB, NBA, and March Madness with our good mate, Sam Brief, who is from the Windy City. He's part of the Bulls organization. And I hear, Sam, congratulations, digital producer for NBC's Olympics this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that. And thanks for having me on. This is an amazing sports day here in the States. We have day one of MLB. We have March Madness. So a lot of great stuff happening.
All right. Well, Shohei Ohtani's just struck out. And he is the Dodgers leading St. Louis, though, 6-1. Has he struck out career-wise? I mean, this betting scandal has sort of overshadowed the start at day one of the MLB season. For those that don't really understand, in brief, excuse the pun, Sam, what's the lowdown on the Shohei Ohtani scandal?
Honestly, that was a pretty good use of the brief pun, so I got to give you kudos to that. So here's what's happening with the Shohei Ohtani scandal. And I don't know if it's fair to Shohei for us just to call it the Shohei Ohtani scandal.
Fair.
Because really the only person who, at least according to Shohei, has done anything wrong is Ipe Mizuhara, his longtime, now disgraced, former translator. So there's two versions of the story. I'll start with the one that Shohei and his legal team have told us is true. And that version of the story is that Ipe Mizuhara, who was a longtime translator, friend, coach, confidant of Shohei's, was a gambling addict, was $4.5 million in debt, and somehow gained access to Shohei's, you know, very extensive financial records, and wired $1 million to this illegal bookmaker without Shohei's knowledge, which of course is a theft and a disgrace and a crime. That's what Shohei is telling us is true. Now, what Ipe initially said was true was that Shohei himself was just being a good mate and bailed his friend out of the debt by wiring money to this illegal bookmaker, which would put Shohei in hot water for committing a felony according to U.S. law, which is wiring money to a criminal. So there's two versions of the story. There's the story that Shohei is telling us, and there's the story that the translator did tell us before. I have no reason not to believe Shohei because of this. If Shohei is lying, he's done. Right. If it comes out that he lied, he would be victim to U.S. law because he would have lied to investigators. His career with MLB and with the Dodgers is disgraced and he might never play another game. So because of that, I believe him. And I believe that this translator was in debt and somehow got access to Shohei's money and bailed himself out. So I know it's confusing because there's two versions of the story. But that's the lowdown on the scandal.
And let's take it another step. If it's found that Mizuhara was guilty, but on the flip side, Ohtani did give the money because he was a mate, but won't be found guilty because he was helping someone out, would the MLB censure him and stand him down for a number of games?
Well, first thing is, he would be found guilty, actually. Helping out a mate, it's great. And I would think Shohei's a great guy for doing that.
Yeah.
But It's still a felony.
Okay.
You can't wire $1 million to a criminal. I mean, in the state of California, betting on sports is illegal. And anywhere in America, wiring money to someone who's running an illegal operation is a felony. So Shohei would still be subject to United States law. Whoever wired money is subject to that penalty. Now, Shohei's saying he didn't wire the money at all, but he would be subject to the law and certainly subject to punishment from Major League Baseball, especially if he lied about it. He would be subject to even more punishment. But if the story that Shohei's telling us is true, well, he wouldn't be subject to anything because you can't blame a guy for being stolen from. You know, if I rob your house and take all your money and precious jewels, you're not going to get in trouble for anything. So that Shohei's pretty much telling us that second version. And frankly, I'm inclined to believe him because I have no reason not to unless more evidence comes out.
Well, okay. So and on the other side, in the NBA, you've got the Raptors' Jontay Porter. What's going on there?
Oh, well, but the Jontay Porter situation is really interesting. And I actually just saw him up close about a month ago. I was broadcasting a G League game for the Bulls, and Jontay Porter, who was then with the Raptors G League team, was on the other side. So I got to see him up close and personal. Didn't notice any funky business, that's for sure. But this one's really interesting. So the Jontay Porter situation centers on prop bets, which, frankly, if I'm a player and I want to make a little bit of money or make my mates or my family a little bit of money by manipulating something with the game, prop bets would be the easiest way to do it. Because if you look and you say, oh, Sam, the over-under on three-pointers for you is 1.5, I'm going to put $1 million on the under. Could you do me a solid and not shoot a three? I'd be like, oh, sure. Can I take half of that? That'd be a pretty easy way to make some money. So I'm explaining it simply, but that's kind of what Jontay Porter is led to have done.
Terrible.
Now, I'm sitting here explaining to you a hypothetical. That's what some people are looking into with him. Now, I must add, Jontay Porter has not been charged with any crime. There's no evidence out there in the public court that he has done anything wrong, but that's what's being alleged, and the only evidence we really have is that there were what the NBA is calling betting irregularities around Porter's games, where there was just a ton of money gambled around a few Jontay Porter prop bets on certain nights.
Yeah.
Now,
it smells
like crap. So, I'm not sure how this one's going to end up, but probably not well for him.
I've just been looking at the opening scores in the MLB, and this has been something that's been raised before about the ease of scoring and why. So the Reds lead the Nationals 7-2. The Astros and the Yankees are tied at 4-all. The Dodgers are 7-1 against the Cards. The Marlins are 5-3 up against the Pirates. The Padres are down 2-3 to the Giants. What gives the amazing amount of home runs constantly being scored in the MLB?
Well, you didn't mention the game I'm watching, which is my lowly White Sox are down 1-0 to the Tigers, and they only have 3 hits, but the Sox are going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So, yeah.
Good for you.
To your point, there is a scoring boom in Major League Baseball. Now, there's a bunch of factors. Now, we often early in the season, we will see hitting beat pitching because pitching is, of course, such a specialized skill, and it takes time, right? So, early in a season, when guys maybe aren't in full game shape, you often will see hitting beat pitching, which is why you read some of those scores. And, you know, the Orioles just beat the Angels 11-3, for example.
Yeah.
But also, pitches are faster than ever before. Hitters are gearing their swings to be faster than ever with better exit velocity and a launch angle that's geared to the home run. So pretty much the analytics and the way players have trained have geared towards you either want to hit a home run, strike out, or walk. obviously you don't want to strike out, but the way they are gearing their swings leads to a lot of strikeouts. So that's why you're seeing a lot of high scoring games, but also a lot of low scoring games, because when the ball is not flying out of the ballpark, guys are striking out more, and you will see some low scoring games too.
That was a hell of a breakdown, but it made so much sense. Thank you for that.
I try.
Who was the team to keep an eye on? Who was the team to keep an eye on this year?
Well, I'm going to give you a team other than the Dodgers, because the Dodgers have built this juggernaut lineup around Shohei, and they're too obvious a pick. So I'll give you another team, which is the Baltimore Orioles. They, in my opinion, should be favorites to win the American League East and take down a Yankees team that has a lot of hype coming into the season. The Orioles return all 9 starters from their lineup from a team that won the AL East last year before a disappointing first-round exit in the playoffs. And they just added a new ace. Their best pitcher is named Corbin Burns, and he might be the best pitcher in the American League now. He might win the Cy Young. He pitched a heck of a game today on opening day in Baltimore. So I would say the Orioles are a sensational team to watch out of Baltimore.
All right. The one thing that gets even folks this side of the world a little bit excited, and probably the one of the rarities where college basketball becomes something to watch and talk about, is March Madness and the Sweet 16. UConn, the Huskies, are the defending champs. Do they go again?
Ooh, well, they just pounded my alma mater of Northwestern. So I'm inclined to say yes, they go again. UConn, if they lose a game in the tournament, it means that they have just laid an egg. If UConn plays even close to its full potential, they will win every game until they're winning another championship, which would be very notable, because listeners of yours should know that there has not been a repeat champion in March Madness since 2006, 2007, when Florida did it with a team of NBA stars like Al Horford and Joakim Noah. Billy Donovan was the coach of that team. So I'm inclined to say, yes, UConn will win the championship.
Okay, NC State. How far do they go?
Well, common logic would tell you their run ends tonight, because as an 11 seed, they have to now take on 2-seeded Marquette. But they've got so much magic, and they've got this big boy, number 30, in the middle of the paint. He weighs like 250 pounds. His name is DJ Burns, and he might be the most fun player in college basketball. I'll go on the edge of the cliff and say NC State wins one more game and makes it into the Elite Eight. But the statistics would tell you they probably lose tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, when you said big, 200 pounds, it reminded me of Zion Williamson when he came out of NCAA and has sort of fallen flat. Now I'm seeing and hearing he's back to when he was the rookie. Everybody's starting to get excited about him again.
Yeah, Zion is playing really well. And in fact, I just saw a before and after picture of him, which was when he had kind of let himself go a little bit. He was getting injured. He just didn't look physically as ripped and ready and in game shape as he does now. But I mean, against OKC last night, he had 29 points, 10 assists. I mean, he's doing it in a lot of different ways, not just scoring. He had 36 the night before. I mean, Zion is turning into the beast that we all imagined he'd be. I mean, that was the book on Zion, right? Coming out of Duke, we all knew if this guy stays healthy, he can be one of the great players in NBA history. But it's a huge if, because this guy is big and he plays this aggressive style. He hasn't stayed healthy. But if this year he can stay healthy, his Pelicans might make a run deep in the NBA playoffs.
And that's where we should turn our focus right now, because you know, traditionally back in this part of the world, you know, you become either a Bulls fan or a Lakers fan. That's traditionally. I know a lot of young kids now have different teams, but the Lakers still intrigue me. They're sitting about 9 in the conference, just outside of, you know, being there. How far can they go? Do they make it to the playoffs generally?
Yeah, they'll make it to the playoffs. I mean, listen, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they're not going to miss the playoffs. The NBA, at the end of the day, you know, it's cute to have a team that's well-balanced and plays together, but it's a star-driven league. LeBron James is not going to let his team miss the playoffs, and he's not going to let them lose in the play-in tournament. I mean, we've seen this before, right? Last year, there was a lot of hype that the Lakers might miss the playoffs. Did LeBron let that happen? No, he did not. And LeBron is still playing at a ridiculous level for someone who is in his 21st season in the NBA. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers. So, yeah, they'll make the playoffs. So will the Warriors. And they'll probably both advance. Now, the unfortunate thing for Lakers fans out in your beautiful country is they're not that good. So when you see them in a playoff series against a team like Denver or the Clippers or Minnesota even, they have the odds stacked against them. But you'll see the Lakers in the playoffs because they have LeBron.
Okay, and that brings up Bronny. Does Bronny go to the draft?
Yeah.
And does his dad, who's a free agent, go where he wants? And can he do that under the rules?
So this situation is so interesting because Bronny is LeBron's son. However, he's just has not done enough to merit getting drafted. Yeah. I don't know if any NBA GM worth his salt or her salt would draft Bronny. I mean, he's got the genes. He's got the dad who sure maybe would try to finagle his way to get to that team. But, I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm part of the Bulls organization. I'm a Bulls fan lifelong. If my GM took Bronny, I'm like, seriously? Is this guy making a pick just for ticket sales? Just for PR?
Yeah.
Because Bronny averaged like 5 points a game as a backup player on USC last year. He needs to go back to school and prove that he's more than just LeBron James' son, that he can actually be a player in his own right. Now, if he does get drafted, to answer your second question, LeBron can do whatever he wants. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over in the NBA. If I'm a star player and I'm going to be traded to a team, I want to work a way to get a deal to go to this other team, I'm going to find a way to do it. Because in the NBA, money talks, and the star players run that league. So LeBron would find a way to do whatever the heck he wants. But the biggest variable is, would any general manager actually draft his son? Right now, I'd be stunned. Maybe in another year, though, that'd be realistic.
Yeah. Do you think this narrative and this story is being driven by James himself, LeBron himself, rather than anyone else or the media?
No, I actually trust that LeBron is not doing that because everything I've seen is that LeBron is a wonderful parent and a wonderful family man. And I mean, what crazy pressure to put on your kid. If, you know, you're putting it out in the media or something that he wanted to get drafted now and he's going in the draft and, you know, let the kid be a kid a little bit. I actually think it's just a lot of, you know, it's just clickbait stories and a lot of media chatter about Bronny because he's not really much of a force in basketball right now. He still has his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, if you're going to be drafted and just because your dad's LeBron, then the only person to lose here is going to be Bronny himself. So that'll be an interesting to watch. The one thing, you know, I struggle with, and I like Golden State, but they just seem to be starting to implode again. Draymond Green, come on. Surely Steph Curry can get in his ear and say, man, grow up.
Yeah, this is getting difficult with Draymond, and I know we're talking on the heels of him getting ejected again just 3 minutes into the game. At a certain point, like, I get that you're really passionate, and I've heard interviews with Draymond Green where he says, you know, that passion is a part of my game. Like, it's core to who I am. I need to be fiery. I need to be a little bit unhinged. And I get that. There have been great players in NBA history. Dennis Rodman here in Chicago is certainly one of them. But come on. Like, at a certain point, you're getting ejected 3 minutes into the game. You're getting suspended for weeks at a time. You're only hurting your team. You're only serving as a distraction. The best ability in sports is availability. And if you're playing 3 minutes before your temper gets the best of you, you're just not doing your job. So I have respect for Draymond as a player, but he's got to be on the court and he's got to learn how to keep it in check to keep himself on the court.
You know, when we talk basketball and in America, we actually have to talk women's basketball, the WN, well, no, the actually college for a start, because there's one, and you know who I'm going to talk about here. There is one young woman who is lighting up women's college basketball, and it's almost, for me, overshadowing some of the bigger stories in the game. Caitlin Clark, this phenom from Iowa. Wow,
yes.
is all I can say.
Yes.
I mean, she is a genuine rock star now in American sport, and she's only in college.
She is the face of college basketball right now. Male, female, I don't care. She is the face, and she controls so much. I mean, it is just amazing what she's been able to do on and off the court. Everything here in America, people go bonkers for her. The ticket prices are in the thousands just to get in the door to see her play. The media ratings for some of her games dwarf that of the men's game. Ice Cube and his team in the Big Three basketball tournament just offered her $5 million to play in this tournament. I mean, she really has the college basketball world in her hand. Now, the scary thing for the college basketball world is her Iowa Hawkeyes were just a few points away from losing their second round game in March Madness last week to West Virginia, but they won. They are still in it, and her games will get massive ratings if Iowa can keep marching on. She's an amazing player, and I highly recommend, I mean, for anyone listening to you, stay up in the middle of the night. I don't care what time the game is. If you have a chance to watch Caitlin Clark, watch her, because she does things that players can only dream of at men's or women's college basketball.
You know, Sam, the next question will be, can she transition this her awesomeness to the WNBA? Because she'll obviously, you'd suggest she goes number one in the draft straight up, but can she do it with the step up? Or is she going to be a once in a generational, maybe once in a 100 years player?
Everything I've seen tells me she projects to be a star in the WNBA. And generally, we have seen the best players from women's college basketball turn out to be WNBA stars. It's much more common, actually, on the men's side, for star players to get drafted into the NBA and turn out to bust. I think like an Anthony Edwards a few years ago, or a Marvin Bagley, right? Like, that doesn't happen as much in the women's game with the best of the best. So, plus, I mean, look at her skill set. She's a sharpshooter, right? Shooting is not going to disappear once you're playing for a WNBA team as opposed to the Iowa Hawkeyes. So everything in the past, everything I see from Caitlin tells me she'll be a star in the WNBA.
Wow, exciting times. Do you have a wish? Do you have a wish for the Jordan days back at the Bulls?
Oh, yes, especially because the Bulls haven't been to the playoffs in years, and we haven't had a player like Jordan, obviously. I mean, the D. Rose era kind of sniffed it.
Yeah.
But then he tore his ACL twice, and we know that story. So, yeah, definitely. We miss him.
What's the weather like in the Windy City at the moment?
Well, it looks beautiful right now. I'm looking out my window in downtown Chicago right now. Blue skies, very sunny. It's 51 degrees Fahrenheit, which, if I'm remembering my conversions correctly, is that about, that might be about 15?
No, it's okay.
15
Celsius? It's 15. That's, it's 10. It's 10. It's 10 degrees. That's
it's
cold.
It's 10. Okay, I was close. I was pretty close.
Yeah, well, actually, that 5 degrees is a lot of a difference, though.
It makes a big difference. Yeah, it's jacket weather. You know, I'm going to go out to dinner here in a few, and I'll put on my jacket, hat, and gloves, but it's beautiful.
Oh, man, I appreciate you spending pretty much a half hour with us and just giving us the insight and some of the stuff we wanted to talk about today. If people want to follow you on X or anything else, what's your X handle?
X, I'm still getting used to that.
I know.
For a second. I was like, what the heck is that? my X handle is just my name, Sam Brief. So it's Sam and then Brief, B-R-I-E-F, like briefcase. Shoot me a follow. I'll follow you back. And really appreciate the time, guys.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. And from us, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to all of you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Sam Brief giving us the lowdown stateside here on Good Friday on SENZ. And if you're listening on the app on SEN or SENZ, trust you enjoyed that. He's Finn still talking. No, I can't talk to him. I'll talk to Finn afterwards. It's 11:25 here on SENZ. Push the button, Finn. Push the button.